District to order. May we have a roll call, please, Amy?
Vice Chair Austin?
Here.
Director Hill?
Here.
Director Nichols?
Yes, here. Would you please join me in the flag salute?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
That brings us to agenda review. Is there anyone who wants to make any changes in the order of the agenda?
No.
Everything's fine? Okay. And that'll bring us to our public comment. This public comment period is an invitation to members of the community to present comments, thoughts, or suggestions on matters not scheduled on this agenda. So I ask you to please adhere to the following procedures when addressing the board. Comments should be limited to 3 minutes or less. Your comments should be directed to the board as a whole and not directed to individual board members. Slanderous, profane, or personal remarks against any board member, staff, or member of the audience shall not be permitted. So with that, do we have any public comment? Items not on the agenda?
Good evening, I'm Julie Tacker, and as I've said before, I'm not going to stop saying this. I would like to see your board rescind the censure of Mayor Hill. In light of the behavior of a board of supervisor, also named Hill, by comparison, censure was misapplied in this district. Adam Hill should be censured at the Board of Supervisors. Jim Hill should never have been censured in this district. I've also asked, and I will continue to ask, that your board investigate Mayor Scholes. Mayor Scholes interfered in personnel matters, and he admitted it. This had incredible ramifications in that, well, we've seen the thousands and thousands of dollars in human resources and legal related to his meddling. I'd also like your board to consider a discussion, a community-wide discussion, to expand this board. In 1984, the San Luis Obispo Grand Jury recommended that this board be expanded to better represent the many citizens of this district.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Shirley Gibson, Halcyon, and I'd like to remind the board also that you are accountable and responsible to the ratepayers of this district. One thing I wanted to mention is that I would like to see less participation by the audience when they're not at the microphone right here. At the last meeting, there was kind of backseat drivers in the audience, and somebody was trying to quarterback from the back of the room, and there was also bad language. And, you know, for the people that think they're so right and they need to share it, then maybe stay home and watch Jeopardy. I think many times the audience, by talking amongst themselves or to themselves or whatever, undermines the board of directors. I mean, you know, I come to these meetings to hear what you have to say and what the staff has to say. So I think the problem is if you're up there, you don't know if there's noise in the audience. You can't hear that. At the same time, if there's noise back here, I can't hear you, or I can't hear someone at the microphone. So I think people should just keep that in mind and be courteous and respectful. I don't think that's too much to ask. Thank you.
Thank you, Shirley. Is there anyone else?
I'm Debbie Peterson. I live in Grover Beach, and I am a member of the Grover Beach City Council, although I'm not speaking on their behalf. I'm actually speaking on behalf of the League of California Cities Women's Caucus. I am their representative on one of the policy committee meetings in Sacramento. And I read a statement that they made at the Grover Beach City Council meeting that I wanted to read to you. And this is at the request of the Women's Caucus. They wanted us to bring the following to our local government agencies. Inequality has been a burden on women for centuries. Sexual assault and harassment in the workplace are still far too common. We recognize the hashtag MeToo movement, that's why I'm wearing black, and the urgency to make policy changes that protect victims so they can speak without fear of retaliation and know that their complaints will be addressed. The time is now for all those who have been discriminated against to be assured of a safe workplace. With the strength of our united voices, we encourage all California officials to promote good governance and prioritize best practices for sexual assault and harassment prevention and reporting. And the sanitation district is no more innocent than the state and federal agencies that on Monday night, actually, the state agency made some, the governor strengthened up some of the whistleblower policies. So I would really like to ask you, as a district, to review your sexual harassment policies, your harassment policies, that you would cease to use public funds to pay off victims in exchange for their silence, that you would void any silence clauses, that you would disclose any funds, public funds, that have been used to pay off people who've lost their jobs for being whistleblowers. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Good evening, Mary Lucia Giano. Last time, I think it was your last meeting or the meeting before, there was a fine that was paid to the state of California for $9,000 for the biosolids. And I went online and I looked at some dates, and at that current time, those violations occurred. I was sitting on this board, and I had repeatedly brought up the issue of the numbers increasing and increasing, but I wasn't able to find an audit on it. I found the exact dates that the violations occurred. I saw no staff follow-up. So I was wondering if, and I'm not asking you to revisit the issue of the violations, I'm asking you to audit it and post it on your website so some of us can read it. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else has public comment? Items not on the agenda? Okay, seeing none, we'll go on to our next item 5, the consent agenda. Is there anything any board member would like to pull any item for separate discussion?
Yes, please.
Okay.
5A, D, and E.
I'm sorry?
5A, D, Delta, and E, Echo.
A, 5D, V. Okay. Ms. Nichols, is there anything you would like to?
No.
Okay. I think we'll open this up for public comment now. We're going to start, do it item by item. So we're going to open the public comment for the approval of the warrants. We'll just do each one separate since we have.
Okay. I'm Julie Tacker, and there are two warrants that I'm concerned about. Number one is the Liebert Cassidy Whitmore $700. This is so tiny. It's very difficult to read, even with my glasses. And the format has changed. Somebody changed the format, and that's unfortunate because it is hard to read. $753.81. This, as I recall, was on an agenda just a month ago, and your board voted not to pay it. Did you need some?
Well, they say they can't hear. I wanted it.
ask him to turn up the microphone, or if you can speak. They said they can't hear in the back is all.
Oh, okay.
Maybe.
So the Liebert Cassidy Whitmore warrant appears to be the same one. It's come back after your board already said they would not pay it. And I agree with the board's position that your board should not pay it. There is a invoice for the Human Resources CPS HR Consulting, and that is your recruiter. I actually did a public records request. I didn't have to. I guess I could have waited until it was put on the website somewhere. But the brochure that your board massaged between the hiring of Mr. Huebner and now is better, but not great. Found a lot of errors. I was under the impression that your board was going to review it before it went out, and I think those errors would have been caught. So I don't know that if they're significant enough to sway an applicant one way or another. I just know that your board had concerns with it originally and wanted a chance to look at it. So I'm sorry that that didn't happen, and I hope it doesn't affect the final outcome of the search. So maybe you'll all look at that brochure yourselves. I think you'll be disappointed in the photographs that were chosen when that was one of the things that was highlighted, is that the community of San Luis Obispo was highlighted in the previous brochure, and Pismo Beach is in this one.
Thank you. Anyone else on the approval of the warrants? Seeing none, anybody have public comment on the minutes of January 3rd, 2018? Seeing none, anybody have public comment on the approval of the minutes January 17th, 2018? Okay. The 5D, appointment of technical consultants, adopt the resolution and authorize the board chair to execute the contracts.
I'm sorry, the way that you're handling this is awkward, in that usually, and I'm not quarterbacking, I'm just saying that when you finish an item, the public, then you deliberate, you vote each item, not take public comment on all of them individually.
I was going to bring it back to the board. Thank you. Go ahead. Do you have public comment on this item?
Well, this is awkward in that... we're not hearing. I don't know how you're going to go back and vote individually on each one of these and have separate deliberations before you move on to the next one. So it is highly unusual, the process you're using. The contract for administration, I'm glad it's pulled for separate discussion. I want to hear your discussion. I'm not getting to know why Mr. Hill pulled it, but I'm glad he did, because I have some things to say about it. I think there are some errors in the staff report. I think there's some mischaracterization in the staff report, one being that Mr. Huebner retired from this district. Mr. Huebner was let go with a separation agreement and a severance. That is not a retirement. He did retire, and you are paying in perpetuity for his benefits associated with his retirement, but he technically did not retire from this district. Just want to be clear on that. I am concerned about Mr. Sweet and Mr. Karp and the amount of hours that they're putting in at the rate they're putting it in, when both of these men served this district in a part-time capacity for 6 hours a week, 10 hours a week. Now they seem to be billing 20 and 30 hours a week. And it's a lot of money And the job, we still don't have, the outstanding things that were outstanding when Mr. Huebner left are still outstanding today. So I'm not seeing a whole lot of progress with all of this billing. If you are going to enter into another four-month contract, I would like to see that both administrators provide itemized bills. One is and one isn't. I think that should be rectified in your agreement or made clear, because you don't know what they're billing, what the one is billing for. And then I have a concern over some dates that they're not going to be here. I think February 21st and March 7th, there's no meetings, or there's meetings that they won't be at. So I'm unclear on whether they won't be in the district. Will the meetings be held without them? Who's in charge of the district if they're gone? Those are just some of my concerns. So I'm sure there's others, but again, I think the way this is formatted, we should have heard a staff report and then your board and then the public and then back. So this is a little out of order, the way this is going.
Is there any other comment on this item?
Kathy Welsh, Rio Grande, ratepayer. I just want to remind you that there are some of us who are ratepayers, some of us who aren't, some of us who act like they might work for the district who don't. And I hope you just pay attention to the ratepayers.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Hi, Colin Cooper. I also have a concern about the two meetings that Mr. Sweet won't be here. We have audits supposed to be coming in here soon. We have other very important things that have to be done here. And we would like an answer. We would like an answer of who's going to be taking care of those while they're gone. And hopefully we can get that answer tonight. Because it's important to know who's heading it up while they're gone. And that's an issue that a lot of us have. Thank you.
Thank you.
Nancy McNeil, Oceano. I also think it's like quite awkward to have somebody who is not a ratepayer, who comes from out of town, who stands at this podium, item after item after item, and tells our board how to run their meeting. Please do your best to kind of block out that background noise. We are your constituents. We are your ratepayers. Please listen to us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ron Arnelson, Grover Beach. I'll weigh in on the ratepayer thing. Julie Tacker has had better comments than anybody else in this whole community. Even though she's not a ratepayer, she's had more concern. She's been concerned about the dollar figure, about the way that the plants ran. She has more knowledge than probably, I don't know, maybe even better knowledge of the plant than the people that are running the plant. So I think that her voice is very important to me, and I'm sure there's probably 5 or 10 people in the community, that, in the audience, that would go along with what I'm saying. She's well educated on the subject. She educates herself. She speaks for this district, even though she doesn't belong to this district, doesn't pay rate, isn't a ratepayer here. And I don't think it's the responsibility of us to stand up here and show that we paid our sewer district fees in order to speak here.
Anyone else?
Patricia Price, and I too wanted to commend Julie Tacker for being an activist and overseeing goings on at this district. I really appreciate her input, and I just want to say that I appreciate her very, very much. Thank you, Julie.
Chris Victorine. And I, too, this subject comes up at most meetings, and
I believe legal counsel has ruled on it, that this is a public meeting and that the public is invited to comment. I appreciate any good input. I think all of us should look at comment from other people and weigh it for its what it is. And then back to the contract, I have one concern here on the fiscal consideration at the bottom of it. It says that funds are available within Fund 19 to pay for Mr. Karp and Mr. Sweet, which is fine, but generally I've seen where they say where it's coming from. My concern is in looking at the budget to actual that we have here, that we have a lot of services that aren't directly, that don't directly affect the operations of the plant, that affect, that are more like, that are very high, they're over 100%, and we're only halfway through the year. And there's a lot of maintenance that's that way less than 100%. So I think when you say that funds are available, I'd like to know exactly where they're coming from. Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Shirley Gibson, Halcyon again. According to Shalene Bennett of Liebert, Cassidy, and Whitmore, she told the group...
I'm sorry, you can't step up in front of the podium.
Well, it's for the board. Anyway, she told a group of people when we were at the Red Grande City Council meeting that Julie Tacker had cost the city of Red Grande, the council, $5,500 and would cost the OCSD at least that much or more. So that's at least $11,000. And that's, and I believe that she was the head of that investigation for Jim Hill. And that was for the redaction of 3,700 pages in a request for public documents. And according to the Fair Political Practices Commission, since redacted documents are very costly to produce, that in order to maintain transparency, the high cost of that would not be affordable to the average person. So the cost of the redaction must be borne by the community at large, which basically means the ratepayers. And really the problem is that Julie Tacker does not live in the community. And I've heard the excuse that she was the first one or she shared her information with the community. Well, shoulda, woulda, coulda. The truth is she cost us that money. And we're the ones paying for it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mary Lucia Sciano. I am a ratepayer. I'd like to point out that, first of all, the last four speakers have been totally off topic. I don't see Julie Tacker on this agenda. This is how narcissistic people gain control and gain attention. They go from town to town, city to city, committee to committee, and unfortunately, Ms. Tacker has landed on the Sand District, and it's costing us thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars in legal and staff and public records, and so I'm asking you as leaders to put a halt to this. Stop having the Sand District be her place where she holds court and do the business of the people who actually pay the rates, who want to see this plant, you know, get better. And please don't keep getting sucked off topic to talk about somebody who, that's what they want you to do, talk about them.
Anyone else? Okay, seeing none, I'm going to bring it back to the board.
If we could briefly just respond to a couple of the comments. Regardless of the alleged cost of the public record production, we have the right as ratepayers and citizens to request those public records for any reason and any purpose at any time. It's one of the fundamental freedoms that we enjoy here as ratepayers and citizens of the state of California. And I applaud people who are take enough interest to find appropriate records so they can inform themselves on business of the district. To the specific comment about $11,000, I find it interesting that Liebert Cassidy Whitmore, rather than even using the attorney who wrote a report for the city and the district, there was one of the partners in the firm went through all of the thousands of pages of material, redacting it at an extreme and unusual high price that I personally find completely unjustified and I would imagine bordering on fraudulent.
Okay, thank you, Jim. Can we get back to the appointment of the technical consultants, adopt the resolution, and authorize board chair to execute contracts? And you wanted this pulled, so would you like to discuss it?
I note that the board has previously voted not to approve the Liebert Cassidy Whitmore warrant, and while I note that the HR bills and legal bills are still abnormally high, I will move approval of the warrants with the exception of Liebert Cassidy Whitmore.
Okay. Do we have a second?
Yes.
Okay. All in favor to approve the warrants? Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? None. Carries 3-0. Do you want to go ahead and do the minutes?
I would move approval of the minutes of January 3rd and January 17th,
okay.
18th.
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Carries 3-0. Now we'll get to 5D, appointment of technical consultants, adopt the resolution, authorize the board chair to execute the contracts. You had some comments on that?
Yes, I do. I have to say that with all due respect, I'm disappointed in the performance of the technical consultants. I was assured at the beginning of their tenure that things would be back to normal in a month. And I find that 6 months later and change, that has yet to happen. I also do note the discussion that Mr. Huebner retired from the district is somewhat spurious. There's a discussion that the duties of the consultants include a review of the existing district organization. I'm not sure that that was a duty assigned by the board. Preparation of a recommendation for the board regarding future management of district operations. Perhaps if that is the selecting among the candidates that are provided to us for a future administrator, that may be part of it. I look at the operations support. Well, the technical consultants are not operators. Budget management and control, we've got no audit from 2 years ago, no audit from last year even started. The finances are numbers that show up on pages and have numbers of errors and are confusing. The finances appear to me to be in somewhat disarray. Management of district capital and maintenance projects, yes, but those are all pretty much contracted out to firms such as MKN. District board agenda preparation, yes, that's largely clerical work. Personnel services coordination and policy implementation is defined by the board. Well, I'm concerned that it almost looks like the technical consultants were brought in to be hatchet men to eliminate our highest qualified operator on the assuming on the recommendation of the former chair, Mr. Scholes, which I find very disturbing. And coordination of the district administrator recruitment, I thought that was supposed to be one of the top things. And according to the quote above, it says this lasted longer than originally anticipated. I'm disappointed.
Thank you. Barbara D.
I have a question about the, as far as the length of time on the recruitment. It says in the report that the previous board could not find a qualified candidate among them, and so they went back out to recruit. Is that any fault of the technical people?
Is that a question, Mr. Park? Were you?
There were two things we asked the consultant to do. One was to take up an interim district administrator and suggest some names to you, and the other one was to process the district administrator recruitment. And she's doing that. She's received quite a few applications. That's being done. Now, I was not at the closed session, but I understand that the names that were given to you for district administrator interim were not to your preferences, and it was reported to me that you had considered extending the contract that Mr. Sweet and I had previously worked under. So that's the reason for this item to be on the agenda tonight.
I understand that, but so there has been a panel of
No. There has been the brochure, which was discussed a little bit earlier.
Mm-hmm.
The brochure is out on the street, and it's been reported to me by the consultant that there have been a number of applications. It's open until filled. Towards the end of February was when they had planned to make a recommendation as to who to interview.
Okay.
And then we were hoping to hire someone in the March-ish
Okay,
time.
And who will be doing the interviewing on that?
It's up to you as a board to determine that. We'll recommend.
Hopefully the board will look at all the candidates.
Okay. All of them? And not have a recommended few from the recruiter?
We can certainly have a recommended few, but I think the board should look at all.
I'm sorry.
I think the board should look at all of the applicants while the recruiter and possibly a technical panel may make recommendations, which would be welcome. I think the board should look at all of the candidates. I think we unfortunately missed a couple of highly qualified candidates the last time by not looking at all of the ones who there's a person in Los Osos that's working well now that was one of our applicants. And there are others that we miss.
Okay. My concern here is we can't operate without the technical assistance. We can't just sit and wait until we get enough candidates to come in and interview. And Mr. Karp and Mr. Sweet have limitations on the amount of hours that they can work. I understand from CalPERS standpoint, rules and regulations. So I'm seeing the possibility of a gap here that is unreasonable.
I have to agree with you, Barbara. I think that we should continue for all the reasons you said with Mr. Karp and Mr. Sweet. We can't afford to have a gap in between looking for things, and they've done it. I think they've done an excellent job at the plant considering what they came into, and I'm very happy with their performance. And you know, I'm ready to move forward on this. I'll entertain a motion.
I agree with what I know of what has been accomplished in the last few months. I think is admirable. A lot of unexpected things are going on, and you do with the staff you have what you can do.
Okay, so can I?
So I think we need to make a decision on this, and I don't hear any alternative than extending this contract.
So can this, I, is anyone ready to make a motion?
This contract comes to us at considerable expense, and again, I note that we've been promised an audit, and promised an audit, and promised an audit, and the technical consultants have done virtually nothing to resolve the issues with the district's finances such that our financial statements could be audited. So I'm reluctant to approve this. Obviously, we need an administrator going forward. So that's where we are.
Okay. Is anyone ready to make a motion on this item?
I move that we approve the consultant's new contract for their services for a term up to 4 months. And I am making the assumption in that if we do find an administrator in the meantime, that you gentlemen will quietly fade away with smiles on your face.
Okay, I'll second that motion. We have a roll call vote, please, Amy.
Chair Austin?
Yes.
Director Hill?
Respectfully, no.
Director Nichols?
Yes.
Motion carries 2-1.
Thank you. Okay, the next item, the biosolids handling facility. You wanted to pull that one
I have too. Just a comment on this. This is basically a 20 by 20 reinforced concrete slab with a curb around it. And I note that the bids came in at $40,000. I wondered what would happen if we had bid the job for a 20 by 20 concrete slab with a curb rather than a biosolids handling facility. But we do need the project, and I will move approval.
Okay. Do we have any public comment on item 5E?
Julie Tacker and I noticed the same thing, that it is a concrete pad. People get driveways poured all the time for a lot less money. And I wondered, my question in this case would be, while you may go ahead, what would it cost to go out for rebid? I know it's still not a huge amount of money, but if it could save some, it might be worth just resubmitting or reissuing the RFP, or what's the number?
Anyone else have any comment on? Seeing none. Okay. We have a motion on 5E.
I've moved approval.
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Carries 3-0. Okay, so 5F is the notice of contract completion, the Digester 1 cleaning project. So I don't know that we don't have any extra comment. I guess I'll just open it to the public. Does anyone have public comment on 5F? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the board. Do we want to entertain a motion?
Move that we approve that project. That we accept the fact, the report that it has been completed. I'm sorry.
I will second and congratulate the district on the completion of the project.
Great. Thank you. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed? None. Carries 3-0. Okay. That brings the end of our consent agenda.
Madam Chair, the attorney has advised me that we were supposed to move the consent now that once it was completed and discussed. Can you add in a little bit on that?
Yes, you had individual discussions on items that were pulled by Director Hill, and he pulled 3 of the items off consent. There still needs to be a motion to approve the consent agenda, which can be done with one motion in a second.
Okay. Someone want to make a motion to approve the consent agenda?
I approve the consent agenda.
I'm confused
we did each
in
one
that
separate.
We approved each item separately, I'm not sure the point of approving the consent agenda.
I'm sorry, I didn't see.
We went through and approved the warrants, then we did the minutes together and the technical. We voted on each item.
Every item.
On the minutes, each one. Was,
yes.
I'm
yes.
sorry.
Okay.
Yeah,
thank
they've
you.
All been approved.
Okay, that brings us to our next item, is the election of our calendar year 2008 board officers. Do we have a staff report on that?
Yes, I put the staff report in there. It just reiterates that we have been trying to do this since the end of December, and actually we didn't have a meeting at the end of December. We had one at the beginning of December, and because of various situations where we haven't had all the board members there, we haven't been able to produce officers at this time. You should, Madam Chair, you should take nominations and proceed with the election of the officers that will sit for 1 year period.
Okay, thank you. I think we will open it to public comment first. Is that correct? Okay, so let's have, if anyone has public comment on our election of the officers, President and Vice President for the year 2018. Come forward.
I'm Chris Victorine, and I support Director Taylor's chair for the coming year. Not everyone who serves on a special district board is an effective board member or leader. Effective board members work hard to make the team successful. Effective board members know how a board member governs is as important as what a board member does. They know that manners and professional behavior make a huge difference. Effective board members understand they need to establish trust and respect. Effective board members treat the public and fellow board members with dignity and respect, even in the face of criticism and opposition. Effective board members hold the district accountable on behalf of the community. At the last board meeting, Director Austin belittled a member of public's comments, saying that the comments were a slant to Oceano, as usual. And she responded personally to a public comment, saying that there were accusations from people taking money in your group. So don't tell me there wasn't, because I remember correctly. She was not respectful or professional. Director Austin then, rather than tactfully resolve a discussion about the timer with the fellow board member, went into a tantrum and ended the discussion with a loud "stop it." She was not respectful or professional. As an attempt at an apology, Director Austin stated, "I was very careful to do this at the 3 minutes, so I don't appreciate being interrupted by a board member when I know what I'm doing here. I'm doing everything fair. It's my first time doing this. I'm sorry about what happened earlier. It's not my normal way. It's just the tone of these meetings the last few months have driven me to that, I guess." Director Austin is blaming and not taking the leadership responsibility of a chair. She needs more experience in serving the district. Director Hill takes his fiscal responsibility seriously and has the self-control to remain respectful and professional during severe criticism and opposition. As a ratepayer, I expect professional behavior and full representation in the best interest of the public. Director Hill is the best fit to serve our communities as chair. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Julie Tacker, and I couldn't say it any better than Chris just did. I, too, support Mayor Hill. I did want to point out something in the process, in that, yes, your board has tried and tried to get a chair the last several meetings, but Ms. Nichols was just appointed between your last meeting and this meeting. So somehow the district's out of sync with the committee assignments at least the city of Grover Beach. But perhaps when we get to the bylaws later, we can talk about the timing be after the other districts, the member agencies, all make their appointments before you'd go through this chair process. Again, I support Mayor Hill.
Anyone else?
Shirley Gibson, Halcyon. I'd like to remind everyone that the Arroyo Grande City Council asked Director Hill to step away from the Sanitation District. So I think if your own council does not have faith in you, then that's a problem for this district. I also want to remind people that about a year ago, I heard Mr. Hill, Mayor Hill and Mr. Clemens discuss and plot to undermine Director Huebner when he was here. And I think that's unethical and just morally wrong to have, you know, to appoint someone to the district, help put him there, and then undermining once he's there. And it costs money, and it was really just to help Mr. Clemens possibly take his job. And it was wrong. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else?
God, I thought there'd be a line. Anyway, Mary Lucy Oceano, I have to say is that I've never seen a better leader than Linda. I've been an activist for many, many years, and she's been a leader to the town of Oceano since she is probably knee-high. She knows the Sand District better than anybody in this room, no matter how many meetings you've attended. I'd also like to point out, too, is that Mr. Hill is a recently censured board member, and it has only been three meetings since he sat at that dais and slandered me personally. He called me a bigot. He called me a racist. Sitting as, you know, I watched with horror as this man sat at the dais and attacked a person from the audience, and it was horrible to see a director act in that way. I've only known Linda to be able to get the job done, you know, and I think our depot is a fine example as we drive into town. It wouldn't be there today if Linda hadn't got the job done. And so the Sand District needs a very, very strong person at the helm. They need to shut down the drama, get the groupies to move along, and get the job done, because there's three communities that bank on that Sand District. It's a sewer plant. It's not a city. It has one function. It should not have this much drama. But what it's become is entertainment for so many people. And I think that with Linda at the helm, the entertainment will end, and we'll be able to get the plant on track and moving quickly. So I know that a lot of us support you being the director. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Hello, Colleen Kupel. All the name-calling that just happened should never happen either. It shouldn't happen on either side. And I've said that over and over and over again. It helps no one. The bottom line for this decision is, who knows more on this board of Linda, Jim, and Barbara? Who knows more about the Sand District than anyone else on this board? Who can run it? Who can observe everything that's going on? Who knows in depth what happens, how it happens, analyzes everything else? And if you went down the line, there's only one that has that knowledge, and that's Jim. Now, that doesn't mean that Linda couldn't run it and Barbara couldn't run it, but is it the Sand District's best interest to have someone who doesn't have all that knowledge? And so that's the bottom line. It's not anything else. It's not personalities. It's not name-calling. It's not anything else. What is best for the Sand District? And that's the bottom line. If you don't choose that, then you're not doing your job as a board. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Happy Welsh, Arroyo Grande.
And I'll state, I want anyone other than Mr. Hill to be the chair. And the reason is the board had to change how they handed out confidential information in closed session meetings because Mr. Hill couldn't be trusted to remove the items. He has a little game that he allows his speakers to speak longer than 3 minutes, but he cuts his others off. While sitting on the OCSD board, Mr. Hill abruptly stepped down, stating the audits were past due, and the board always voted against him. So what is so different here that he won't just step down? Mr. Hill also seems to have an inability to follow the policies and procedures of the district, and that was found in the investigation. Mr. Hill feels it's okay to call a ratepayer out by name and then call them a racist. And that is not what a board member does. I find it interesting that he would call anyone a racist when he and his wife call all kinds of names and insults with people. Mr. Hill claims we need a larger board because he can't talk to board members. That is what these meetings are for. And Mr. Hill sits on a five-member council, and he doesn't speak to three of the other board members. So I don't see the problem being the size of the board, but rather the inability to communicate effectively with the board members who have different views. Mr. Hill also claims that in the past that board members were behind his investigation and that was politically motivated. Mr. Hill, I did that by myself. What was funny is that in January, I did have somebody come up and ask me to wear a wire. So I did wear a wire for quite a few meetings. And maybe from now on, to just show how qualified you are, I'll just start playing the tapes during the three-minute discussion. Thank you.
Anyone else?
Nancy McNeil, Oceano. Also, I am opposed to Mr. Hill chairing this board. The reason he was censured is because he stepped outside his scope of authority. And he stepped outside of scope of authority without being chair, but just by being a board member. So it seems a little like walking on the edge to give somebody who would voluntarily step outside of their scope of authority and interfere in all kinds of different places where they don't belong, to give then turn around and give them a title which seemingly would imply that they have more power than they did before and possibly tempt them to step even further out of bounds. So my two cents is that I believe Linda Austin would make an excellent chair. I don't know the representative from Grover well enough, but I would certainly support her being chair as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Ron Arnelson. I can see the writing on the wall. I don't even need to comment on who's going to be chair. However, I would like to say that on the meetings I've been here for like 5 years, and every meeting I've been here, there's been one person that's consistently represented the community, not just the community that he is the mayor of, but the district itself. He has been consistent with his ability to bring forethought to the meetings, pull items, talk about financial constraints that we have and have concerns about those. He's also an engineer, and he is more than competent about his ability to know how the plant runs. Takes a lot of time reading his agenda and being involved in the district. He was censured. I agree that was part of what happened in the past. But it was typically baloney. Mr. The mayor of Grover Beach basically admitted he had done the same thing, but, oh, my God, we wouldn't dare to censure him. So you can elect whoever you want as a chair. That makes no difference to me. I know that Jim Hill will champion the
the community and continue to bring forward questions and be involved. He's not going anywhere, and he's going to be our representative for the next year. After that, we don't know.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Patricia Price. I just wanted to say that I've been coming to meetings for 6 years now, and what I want, the reason I've been coming, is to learn about the district, and what I want is what is best for the district. Knowing what I know, I will say that I agree with all of the folks that have championed Mr. Hill. And I agree. I think that he would be the best chair. And we'll see how this comes down.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to speak? Okay. Oh, go ahead.
I'm Debbie Peterson. I've been taking a look at the bylaws, and there are a lot of good improvements in them since 2013 when I sat on the board, so I'm really pleased to see that. I did want to bring to your attention just a couple of things that are in the bylaws that might be helpful.
We're not on the bylaws.
I know we're not.
That's on the agenda
now. I understand that. It's relative to the appointment of the chair.
Go ahead.
I'm not talking about the bylaws. I'm talking about the chair.
Well, you were mentioning the bylaws, so I assumed you're talking about bylaws.
Forgive me. I would just like you all to abide by the bylaws. So let me give you what they say. Directors shall prepare themselves to discuss agenda items at meetings of the Board of Directors. Directors should at all times conduct themselves with courtesy to each other, to staff, and to members of the audience present at board meetings. In handling complaints from residents or other members of the public, directors are encouraged to listen carefully to the concerns. When responding to constituent requests and concerns, directors should respond in a positive manner. Directors are responsible for monitoring the district's progress in attaining its goals and objectives while pursuing this mission. And finally, conflicts and related policies. State laws are in place which attempt to eliminate any action by a director of the district which may reflect a conflict of interest. The purpose of such laws is to ensure that all actions are taken in the public interest. They're very complicated. The following provides a brief policy summary. Each director is encouraged to review the district conflict code.
I'm sorry, can you please get to the item at hand? You're reading the bylaws and they are on our agenda.
Forgive me. I would like to continue my speaking, please. I'm talking about conflict of interest, and I'm talking about whether or not directors who have a possible conflict of interest should actually be sitting. So I will leave it to you, to the two of you, but it does mention family members and it mentions property nearby. So I'll leave it to you all to determine that. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else? Seeing none. I'm going to bring it back to the board. And can we?
I appreciate Mr. Hill's experience and education in this area. However, I do have a few problems with some of the complaints that have been lodged against him in the past. He has been a past president, or past chair. Linda has been the vice chair for a year, and I would like to nominate her for chair.
Do we have a second? Okay, I'll second that motion. Can we have a roll call, please?
Director Austin?
Yes.
Director Hill?
Respectfully, no.
Director Nichols?
Yes.
Motion carries 2-1.
Okay, nominations for vice chair. Nominations for vice chair. I'd like to nominate Barbara Nichols for vice chair. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you. Can we have a roll call, please?
Chair Austin?
Yes.
Director Hill?
Yes.
Director Nichols?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay, thank you. This time I think I want to call just like a 5-minute recess. and we'll bring it back at 7:05. Okay, so I'm supposed to sign it? Oh, I didn't see it. Right here. Are you ready? Okay. Again, I'd like to call the meeting back to order, and we'll go on to our next item, which is a call for bids for digester number one rehabilitation project. May I get a staff report?
Yes, ma'am. Madam Chair and Directors, we have before you a request to go to bid on a project called rehabilitation digester number one. This is to primarily patch a couple of leaks and also to line the walls with a epoxy type material prior to coating them with the standard coating material. We had a budget change at the last regular meeting to create the funding for this project, and we're now ready to call for bids. And that's our recommendation.
All right. Is there any comments? Anybody on the board here want to make a comment before I open the public comment? Nope. Is there any public comment on this item? Seeing none. Well, I think it pretty much explains itself. We had approved it last month, so we need to go out for bids. So there's no discussion. Does anyone want to make a motion?
I move that we authorize the call for bids for digester number one rehab project.
With the comment that I'm somewhat distressed about the cost of the project, which seems, I understand the engineer's estimate and so forth, but costs are obviously going up in construction. But I will second the motion, as this is obviously critical work for the district.
Okay, I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? None. Carries 3-0. Okay, our next item is the call for bids for the digester number one valve replacement project.
Madam Chair and Directors, we have before you a request to call for bids on another digester number one related project. This is for four valves to be replaced outside of digester one between the heater building, the boiler room, and the digester number one. These valves were put in with the original plant. We purchased valves for replacement the last time the digester was cleaned, and they have been inventoried for about 12, 13 years, and those are now available for us to stick in this particular location. So we ask for your permission to proceed.
Any comment from the board? Any public comment on this item?
Julie Tacker, and my only question is, I recall that the valves had been sort of mothballed and waiting. I remember, an operations report that said that the job would be done in-house, and I'm just curious, you know, when you do things in-house, they generally are less expensive, so is there any way that the current staff maybe hire an assistant or some, you know, a backhoe operator or something. Just some other way to make it a less expensive by bringing the job in-house.
Thank you. Anyone else? Seeing none. If we're ready to make a motion on this.
Is there a particular reason that we can't do this job with the current staff and or assistants?
Sure. The when these valves were purchased, it was back when we had a full-time maintenance guy and another employee in-house that did that kind of work. And in fact, they were the ones who performed the outfitting of the existing valves by gutting them out, putting in new innards, so we're able to save those valves until now. Right now, our operators are fully involved with not only operation of the plant, but we have a few other jobs that are going on related to the headworks and the centrifuge. And we don't have available people to tear away from those operations at this time. So we're recommending they go to bid.
Thank you for that. I would move that we authorize a call for bids for the digester number one valve replacement project.
I would second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? None. Carries 3-0. Okay, our next item is our financial review, mid-fiscal year 2017-18 financial review. It's recommended to receive and file the report. So anybody want to open this up with any comments before I do public comment?
I have one question. Here at the bottom of page one, I am not familiar with the administrative civil liability fine.
If I may, Madam Chair.
Yes, please.
This was a fine that was levied on the district by the Regional Water Quality Control District for some sewage that was passed into the outside of the sewers back in 2010.
Oh,
and
that incident.
So this is the level at which we were assessed. Okay. And it's been paid to complete that.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Is there, Jim, did you have anything?
I have a number of comments. I don't know that I have any questions.
Okay. I think we'll go ahead and open this up for public comment then. Any public comment on this item? On the financial?
Julie Tacker. I was curious who compiled this, because I see some errors, I have some questions, and I guess I need to know who's done the work. I believe you have a tax accountant that's been helping with the work. The woman's contract is for $25,000. Her name is Faye Russo. And I honestly have to say I have not been impressed with the work product. And fundamentally, you don't have audited financials from the close of 15-16, you don't have audited financials from 16-17, and anything that you are looking at today is suspect to have errors based on the fact that you haven't finalized the accounting from the previous years. So that concerns me. And while for months, we've asked for cash reports. We've asked for the missing money to be found and explained. It's not been explained satisfactorily in my mind. And that you continue to pay somebody to rework the numbers, and the numbers are still bad. We used to have a sort of a reconciliation with the county's fund with our reports. We don't see those anymore. So basically, I'm kind of like throwing my hands up in the air saying, what does any of this mean? Because it does not make sense. And unless we have a foundation of audited financials, it can't make sense. So even though, you know, ultimately the picture is not rosy, but it's okay because it's relatively the same as last year, you've had rate increases. And those rate increases were expected. You don't want to be the same as last year. You want to be better than last year. Clearly, the high legal bills, the high human resources bills have knocked you down, but that is not what your ratepayers signed on for when they agreed to let you raise the rates. So I just need a better financial picture because this doesn't make sense, and you're paying your administrators to go through it, you're paying an accountant to go through it, and whatever staff is going through it. A lot of money's being spent on financials that don't make sense.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Excuse me, Chris Victorine. I just have a couple questions overall on that. On Fund 26, the first page of that, I noticed the budget has budgeted at the beginning fund balance at $240,000. And I noticed that it's not actually in the actual, which a beginning balance should be in the actual. And then I also noticed that in the budget for 8065, the account 8065, you've budgeted almost $1.5 million when you expected only 1.1 or 1.2. I was just curious of why we were budgeting for a deficit. And then on in Fund 19 on page 2, in the budget we have the $947,000 that we plan to transfer, but it's shown there as a positive, even though we plan to transfer it out, and which we did actually when you look at the actuals. So there's just a few things that didn't quite make sense to me that I think maybe should be looked at.
I just have one question at the board. Amy was brought back. She used to do this work and didn't have the errors and things like that that we see now. I'm asking a question. Is Amy being allowed to be involved in this work again since she's been back? And that's all I want to know, because this would not be happening if she was allowed to do her job. Thank you.
Anyone else? Okay. Seeing none, Jim, did you say you had some comments?
Yeah, I find the whole layout and the presentation substandard. Specific issues are on Fund 19, equipment maintenance expenses, $24,000, only 17% of the budget, yet we're halfway through the fiscal year. I wonder what items are not being maintained. The checking and savings, again, this is where we had discrepancies that I've pointed out previously. If you add the checking savings for funds 19, 20, and 26, it comes to 5,750 and change. The funds accounts say 5,743, so there's still a discrepancy of $7,000 there. Various things. The income line items don't line up to the gross income. We have $115,000 labeled for redundancy project. I'm not sure what aspects of redundancy that was. Let's see. The school services was budgeted at $5,000. Apparently, we've received $35,000. That seems like hopefully we have some explanation for that, or there's been some huge step change from the school that was, you know, that we have a good explanation for. Secretary bookkeeper, I see, is budget is expended 65.6%. And I would agree with the commenters that I don't think we're getting our money's worth, and I question who's doing the work and whether it's it used to work. We used to get reconciled statements. I'm not seeing that here, and that's very concerning to me. Admin office space, 70.3%. I don't believe that was budgeted for an entire year, so I'm questioning that. I don't know that we plan to spend any more money on temporary office space. Outside counsel, I've commented at length on that, 110.1%. That's unconscionable. Attorney's fees, 99.2%. Again, I don't question the hourly rate of the attorneys, but I think the amount of work that's been required is very disturbing. I'm not sure who's performing human resource services. We've spent 158% of our annual budget. I don't see that anybody's looking at these and trying to bring it under control. Professional services, fiscal services, I'm not sure what that is. 163%? I don't understand what that is, what we're getting for our money. Brine disposal sampling, zero, yet we've disposed $112,000 worth of brine. That's very concerning to me if we're disposing all of that brine and not sampling at all. I see that we have a medical reimbursement trust. I find that interesting. I wasn't aware of that previously. Undeposited funds. I question why we have $2,678 in undeposited funds. I wouldn't think it would be necessary to have that just rolling around the office. Settlement payable is listed. It was my understanding that we've already paid the settlement for this year. Various transfers. The beginning fund balance again on some of the funds is listed as income. And it was previously pointed out that was those are actuals, not not income. And I don't understand the statement. The beginning fund balance is 0% of budget, you know, things like that. Just a lot of things that don't give me confidence in the financial accounting and handling of the public's assets here that make me uncomfortable with our fiduciary responsibility to the public to manage our funds in a competent manner. PERS employee contribution. that seems to me it should be a pass-through. Not sure why it shows up here. And the equipment maintenance. I hope we're keeping our equipment maintained, even though it doesn't appear we're paying to do so. So this is, you know, an interesting document, but I don't see that it provides a whole lot of probably raises as many questions as it answers. And as the statement was made, if we don't have audits from 15-16, much less 16-17, we're kind of on an unfirm foundation anyway. So again, I'm disappointed with this.
Okay, thank you. Barbara, do you have anything else to comment?
I really need to get up to speed on the accounting system here because I'm finding it difficult to follow. I don't know what some of these funds are. I have a number, but not a name. And I haven't had the time today to ask questions and so on. So I will look forward to getting those questions answered and explained forthwith. Other than that, mid-year financial review seems to be what it is, with further looking into.
Did you have anything you wanted?
I can respond to questions if there are some the board would like me to respond to.
You say you just had comments, Jim?
Is there a reason why our brine sampling is zero when we've done brine sampling?
Sure there is. We, as part of the permit director, they are required to submit all of the chain of custody and sampling results to our plant lab person, and she requires those. She does some additional pH and a couple of other tests on the stuff. She does it in-house. There is no separate billing for that. It's included in the billing that we charge for disposal of the brine itself. So the sampling is being done by outside labs at the expense of our customers.
And that's, so we're relying on the we're relying on the effectively the word of the people who are bringing in the brine with limited testing on our own behalf when our license is on the line for discharge violations that might potentially result. I understand.
Thank you.
Can you explain the very low percentage of funds for equipment maintenance?
Yeah, the funds for equipment maintenance are representative of expenditures not being made out of that budget. It doesn't appear that there's been significant maintenance mischarged to another account. That's a lot of stuff that hasn't been expended this year.
So I question, when we were preparing this budget, did we just throw a number out there, or did we actually look at the schedule of maintenance activities that are expected during the year and try to estimate the cost to come up with a relatively reasonable figure for the budget?
That would be my guess that is what occurred, yes.
That would be my guess is what occurred as
and that's
well.
That's how we'll prepare the budget for you this year, Director. We'll be trying to estimate that for you.
And this budget, I think, predates your tenure, so It's not a, you know, I'm not complaining about our current staff's efforts, but it looks like the, it looks like not a whole lot of thought was put in the budget this year in some areas.
Okay, thank you. So we'll just, if there's no other comments, we'll go ahead and receive and file this report. And we will come on to our next item, which is the bylaw. Annual review of the bylaws for discussion and revision. So, put them in here.
Yes, Director, Chair, Director, and other directors, we have before you a copy of the current set of bylaws that were extensively reviewed and revised and reviewed by our attorneys. We have no recommendation to change them today. We've received one communication from Ms. Victorine, and I've enclosed that for you, or Amy's done that for me. She's put them at your desk this evening. There are some typos in there, which in the event we make additional changes this year, we will make those along with, we'll make corrections along with any other changes that the board deems appropriate. I have not recommended any changes, and I stand ready to accept your input at this time.
Okay. Did you, anyone want to go ahead and make some comments first?
On page 3, item C, or yeah, I'm sorry, item D, meeting limitations of sections 2.2, I believe, should be referencing 2.1. It's in both C and D.
And this is on 2.6?
C on the top of page 3,
special
the very top.
Meeting protocol.
I'm on page 3.
Okay.
Is that where you want
page
me?
3, yes.
You want me on page
at the top of the
top of the page.
There's two D's.
Okay,
C. Yeah, C and D. It yes. references section 2.2, and I believe it's 2.1 that I read the information on.
We'll check it.
Okay, so make a note of that.
And I have one other. Is the block of 20 minutes a revision of the former, page 5 under agendas, 20 minutes for public comment rather than 30 minutes, which is 2.5B says 30 minutes.
You're on
4.2.
Where are we, Barbara?
On page 5.
Page 5.
Item number 4.2.
Yes,
okay, got
says
it.
20 minutes.
Yes.
On back on 2.5, it
I'll
says 30 minutes for public comment.
Board of Directors set aside 30
B,
minutes
yes.
on each agenda for public
yes.
comment. Is that what you're talking about, that one?
Yes.
And then over
yes.
here it says a block of 20 minutes set aside to receive.
Right.
Got it?
Okay. Those are
okay,
the
so there is a
discrepancies that I caught.
So that's, okay, so did we get a note of that punch? Here. 2.5B. Okay. How about Jim? Do you have anything you want to? Are you here, Barbara?
On 1.4, I would suggest a rotation of the chair and vice chair.
What page, Director, please?
This is the first page, item 1.4.
Okay.
Item 1.5 lists various agencies that the chair or the vice chair are authorized to attend on behalf of the district, including the Planning Commission, Board of Supes, Water Board meetings, but it does not list the Coastal Commission, and I would suggest that possibly the Coastal Commission should be also identified there. And recalling that I think the purpose of this 1.6 is to avoid Brown Act issues by having more than one individual attend and represent. So that's the point of citing the Coastal Commission as well. 2.1, I have issues with this in that it says that meetings are located at some place within the district designated by the board chair. I don't believe Chair Austin is likely to say, let's go to, you know, some restaurant or something. But in fact, what we do is a six-month or an annual rotation. And I would suggest that that makes a whole lot more sense to describe our actual practice, which is a fixed rotation, such that the public is well informed about the time and location of our meetings, because we've had issues in the past where people showed up and there was no meeting, and other people had a meeting and nobody showed up.
Good point.
If I could respond to that particular one. When we originally started this rotation, not all of the houses were necessarily available. And the idea came up during the meeting, why don't we try it for some period of time? And we'll notice in the normal ways we notice. And we post and we notice. And so far it's been working. And there's been a couple of times when they say, no, we're doing remodels or doing this. And we're pretty flexible, leaving it somewhat vague. And the staff, other than the two things you mentioned there, Director, about somebody might show up for something that isn't there, that occurs once in a while. And maybe we mispost once in a while. But for the majority of the times, we seem to get our audience here, and the board members seem to arrive. I don't know that I could guarantee we're always going to be someplace every 3 months or 6 months. And
okay. With that, then, I would suggest just saying designated by the board.
Instead of the board chair?
Yes. Rather than the board chair.
Okay. If that's okay with you.
That's fine. Yes.
Then it says special meetings may be called by the chair or two directors.
Is this also in the same?
I'm sorry. This is page 2, item 2.2, special meetings. Special meetings may be called by the chair or two directors. Presumably the two directors would have had to have some conversation about business of the district and come to the conclusion that they need to have a meeting, which seems to me at least on the ragged edge of Brown Act violation. I would suggest that meetings may be called by the chair or any director.
If I can speak to that, Madam Chair.
Yes.
When we've had a need for a special meeting, if it comes up as an emergency, the administrators have contacted the chair and tried to get the chair to call a special meeting, and then you're noticed. Other special meetings have come up as a result of a conversation during a board meeting, like tonight. We need a meeting on such and such a date. And the idea of the two board members was, if you could get a majority of the board, they ought to be able to call a board meeting. Now, maybe we haven't stated this correctly in here, but that's the thinking behind what we have here. And then we'll try to notice within the Brown Act.
I understand what.
Certainly, it's occasionally necessary for the staff to have a special meeting and contact the chair to arrange that. I have no issue with that whatever. Perhaps we could say are two directors in a regular meeting or else any director. I'm just, again, concerned with the Brown Act issues there.
Yeah, if I could, I don't mean to be getting in your face over this, Director, but let's say Austin was whacked in an accident, and I said I need to get a special meeting to deal with an issue, and I called you, Director Hill, and I called Director Nichols, and I says, we don't have a chair today. We'd like to call a special meeting. I need a couple of votes, and you would give me a vote, I trust, and Director Nichols would give me a note. Now, I don't say that we couldn't have some kind of unusual circumstance, but there's an example for you where I couldn't get a chair because the chair is sick
example,
or out.
Well, I certainly hope that nothing happens to Director Austin.
Okay. And that was maybe inappropriate for me to say it, but let's say she's sick, or let's say...
We have a vice chair, so would not the staff go to the vice chairs next?
Certainly. If you'd like to have this changed, I'm stand ready to do so. I'm just trying to give you some background.
It just appears to me that absent something brought forth by staff to the chair or in her absence the vice chair, that a potential Brown Act issue is there. So I'd like to clear that up. Then moving on in page 5, number 4, agendas, section 4.2, there's a conflict there. The person giving public comment shall state his or her name.
I'm sorry, and,
page 5. And it's near the bottom, agendas, item 4.2.
Yeah,
it's a requirement to state his or her name, where they live in the district. That's not a... In fact, that's an illegal requirement. It's not only... not prudent, it's an illegal requirement.
So what would we line out there, Director?
It says the person, I would suggest the person giving public comment may state his or her name, or may choose to state his or her name, whether or not she lives in the district. But again, that cannot be made a requirement.
Somewhere else it said that they didn't have to.
I have a note that says may choose to state his or her name. Would that be acceptable to the consensus?
That's fine.
Yes, it would. Then on page 7, under item 6, directors, paragraph 6.3, information may be requested from staff or exchanged between directors. Brown Act flag goes up again. Directors aren't supposed to be exchanging material between themselves. A director can certainly call staff and request information. Information that's requested should be distributed through the district administrator. That's proper. All directors will receive a copy of all information. That's proper. My concern is with the exchange between directors, which...
Well, it says...
Which line is that?
This is item...
Oh, top line? The top line?
6.3 and the top...
Top line under
6.3. Top line and the third line.
Information shall be requested from staff or exchanged between directors before meetings. Okay, shall we take that out?
I'd like to strike or exchange between directors in the top line, and in the third line, delete or exchanged.
Which one are you on?
This is 6.3 on page 7.
So
I think information that is requested exchange shall be distributed through the district administrator is appropriate.
Information may be requested
Exchange between directors or among directors before a meeting.
It says here within such limitations as required by the Brown Act, so does that cover your concern on the Brown Act? Or
it just seems to me that...
Information as requested or exchanged shall be distributed through the district administrator. All directors, well, that's what we do.
This seems to imply that directors are going to be exchanging material between themselves.
Okay, so.
Excuse me, Madam Chair, may I comment?
Yes, please.
So, well, Director Hill is correct that you should not be consulting with directors in violation of the Brown Act. Because of your unique situation that you only have three members, that presents an issue for this board. I will note that it does qualify that sentence with such limitations as required by the Brown Act.
Right.
And I could think of one situation where the first sentence about exchanging information between directors could be accomplished, and that is if one director was to contact legal counsel or the district administrator and say, I would like this document distributed to my fellow board members. That would be perfectly satisfied the requirements of the Brown Act and satisfy 6.3, yes. In my opinion.
Yes.
Yeah, I would draw a distinction there between requesting that the administrator distribute information rather than exchanging information between directors. It just, perhaps it's the wording that's awkward, or.
Would you be more comfortable with among directors via district administrator?
Is that not covered under the second?
Well, yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Well, I think
perhaps that's adequate protection. I don't know. It just strikes me as suggesting that directors are exchanging information among themselves.
Well, would there be a consensus to delete or exchange between directors and try and make this work for the next year and see if we got any issues?
I'd be happy with that.
Just yes, delete or exchanged.
Mr. Attorney, it's.
Information may be requested from staff between directors before meetings? No.
Why don't we put that on the listing?
From staff?
We made a note.
Before, okay.
From staff it. Before meetings.
On page 9, item 9.4, the last sentence, and this just goes to... an atmosphere thing, I guess. The chain of command should be followed. I would suggest the progression of supervision and management should be followed.
What did you say?
The last sentence, it says the chain of command should be followed.
Page 9, 9.4.
Page 9, item 9.4, the last sentence. And I would suggest replacing chain of command with progression of supervision and management.
So what we're... My comment is that our employees understand what chain of command is, and I'm sure they would...
Chain of command says it, what it means, a chain of command, as it goes down through the system.
What we're trying to do is make sure our employees don't get into trouble, I think. So this would be a communication to that. And, I don't think a lot of you get approached by employees.
I don't think a lot of employees approach directors. I'm not acquainted with that.
You're correct, but this is the director bylaws rather than the personnel policy manual.
Yes, but you're being asked to direct an employee who comes to you.
Right, right.
And we're suggesting that it should say, "Have you gone through the chain of command?" I know that all of the employees would understand what you're asking them.
The employees are aware of what the chain of command is, who their supervisor is.
They do understand that.
Yeah.
And so I don't know that they would consider that negative.
It needs to stay the way it is, yeah.
Okay. Then 9.8, it says no member may participate. I think it intends to say no board member.
You want to put board in there?
No, yes. Board member may participate.
Fine.
Okay. Education, page 11, item 15. The last sentence on the page starts out, subject to budgetary constraints. I would add, and the Brown Act, there is no limit to the number of directors attending a particular conference or seminar.
Mr. Attorney, I think that's a good catch. Do you agree? Yes, sir.
And the Brown Act does have an exception for training for social events and events such as, an example, the League of California Cities.
Right. Mm-hmm.
There are, that's exempt? Okay. What is your pleasure, directors?
See. Well, the Brown Act, although it does have issues that you can't discuss, for example, district business at a conference of this nature. So it's not just a budgetary constraint, it's a Brown Act constraint as well.
Yes, and I always advise when I have more than two members attending any function, you know, not to sit together, not to discuss city business.
Right.
And they should all be familiar with the requirements of the Brown Act.
So again, just a protection for directors.
Yeah, I think that's pretty clear as it is stated.
So is the consensus to change it or leave it?
I think it's quite clear.
I think it's fine the way it is.
All right.
I think it's pretty well known what the Brown Act requires on that.
Okay, I've got comments from two directors and the chair. Do you want to also comment on these? Or are you satisfied with the comments from the other two directors?
Well, let me see. I've made me a lot of notes here. A lot of them were covered. The rotation, the officers of the board.
What page are we on?
On page one.
Page one.
Chair and vice chair of the board should be elected annually, and Director Hill mentioned rotation, and I had made that note myself that perhaps that should be what we would do, but it would be a rotation, but at the discretion of the board if you would do it or not. It's like the Board of Supervisors has it set up that way. So I don't know if that's something we could look at, how they have it for their, how they vote their chair, and maybe follow that a little bit. But it's just an idea. I agree about adding the Coastal Commission on the 1.6. I think that's a good idea.
Mm-hmm. Let's go back to the rotation. Am I hearing a consensus that we want to change that section rather than electing them each year? Because we'd have to change...
Would it be a... Maybe we could leave it now. Leave it for now. I was just thinking that it's something we could look into to make this thing... You know.
Okay.
I suggested that because we're on this now, rather than bring this back again and have to take it up another time, it might be nice to decide what we're going to do with it right now.
Well, we've elected officers for a year tonight, and we probably won't look at the bylaws until after the next election. So if you'd like something different next year than the election... Director Hill makes a good point. There's no time like the present, unless you like to think about it over a two-week period and take an action at a next meeting. I think what I'm going to do is make these changes and bring it to you with... Is it resolution we've been adopting these? So we bring it to you with a resolution next time. That doesn't mean you couldn't change it next time. I think we still have the agenda item... So that a change could make next time, I could word it. I could leave that, or I could put it in there. Whatever you'd like. We're here to serve.
Why don't we just leave it for now? Then we have to try to figure. Let's just leave it the way it is. What did we on the special meetings? Maybe called by the chair. How did we come up? What did we decide on that?
I don't have notes yet.
Okay, by the chair or any director. with the minimum 24-hour notice for a special meeting. I think the special meetings should be like we've done, where if some, what you explained, if something comes up, the administrator will call the chair.
Well, if you change it to what you just said, Madam Chair, I get a call from Ms. Nichols. I want to have a special meeting to talk about this. Neither of you are clued in. It would be up to me to what? Schedule the meeting? Is that what I'm hearing?
No. I was just
I'm not trying to be smart about it.
I'm
going
to
be
cover,
in a predicament here.
I just want to make sure we're clear on that.
Okay.
I understand this thing about not being a Brown Act. I know how you would do that, where it would
sure.
not be. I want to make sure that that's just clear, and I think
that has not been an issue
right.
that I'm aware of. Now, I could be wrong here.
I just want, okay, so why would you...
From what I understand, an extensive revision was made since the, what was it, the 2013 we heard about? Somebody testified to that earlier tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And that a lot of the issues were fixed. I know we have some typos here and there, but
mm-hmm.
in the items we discussed tonight.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll leave that. I think everything else is... I don't think I have any...
Okay, why don't I have Amy put a strike through and... What's the term, Amy, for this type of revision? And then we'll put on a resolution. Do you know the term? Can you help us out here? For the type of... The way you'd make the changes.
Red strike through.
Right?
Red.
Red?
Strike through revision.
Does anybody know what that is? I think it's what I want.
Yeah.
Is that okay with the board tonight that I make these changes with Amy and we'll attempt to get those that you want, and if we don't have it right, you'll tell us when you adopt the resolution. Is that agreeable?
That's fine.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, then I think we have direction, and then you'll adopt with a resolution, so I don't really need a minute order
tonight. See, I haven't done public comment yet. Excuse me. Is it public comment now?
Okay.
Yeah, we need to do public comment before we... So, yes.
Just one comment on the rotation. If you do as you wanted to change it, you're not changing it from what it is now because you're leaving it to the discretion of the board for the rotation. It should be a strict rotation where the board is left out of it so that everybody is impartial. And that's the whole reason for doing this strict rotation. And so that's the reason that I suggested it many times up here. It's all impartial. Nobody can say anything about the partiality or anything like that. It takes it out of everybody's hands up there and puts it on the record as just a strict rotation. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Ron Arnoldson, I agree with the strict rotation. Kind of makes it, takes the political part out of it. If it were to go Grover, Arroyo, Oceano, Grover Road, just keep going, that would make more sense to me. And then each year you'd know who's going to be the chair the next year. The other items I think that you need to change is the fact that any director should be able to call a special meeting, and any director should be able to put an item on this agenda. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm not even seeing an issue of rotation.
Oh, that was on the page, the first page, 1.4.
1.4.
The chair and vice chair of the board shall be elected annually.
There's a rotation of officers and there's a rotation of location. Amy's dubbed it the location rotation, and we hold it dear.
Okay.
But there are two areas of rotation that...
Okay.
That are here.
Yes, go ahead.
I'd like to bring your attention to paragraph 7.3.
7.3?
Mm-hmm. The authority of the directors. It states that the primary responsibility of the board of directors is the formation and evaluation of policy. Routine matters concerning the operational aspects of the district are to be delegated to professional staff members of the district. I find that a little sparse and insufficient for your authority and responsibilities. One of the most significant responsibilities as a director is to understand that the board is a team and you need to work together as a team. Another significant responsibility is taking a look at the financial aspects of the district. Typically, the board will review district finances, ensure that sound fiscal policy exists, and that practices and controls are in place so that the district administrator and board have direct accountability to their constituents. Additionally, every public official needs to worry about governance. Governance is what boards do. Governance is taking the wishes, needs, and desires of the community and transforming them into policies that govern the district. Survival of special districts as a concept depends in large part on how well the board of directors does their job. The quickest way to destroy special districts is for the public to perceive districts as not responsive to the needs of the community or as not being governed effectively. All of these comments come directly from the California Special District Association's board member handbook. My hope is that this board will start to work as a team. Take the financial aspects of your responsibilities seriously and provide the public with assurance that you are governing this district effectively. Thank you.
Anyone else?
Thank you for that comment.
I agree.
Julie Tacker, and can we all agree that you all are equal? I think everyone in the room believes you are equal. So any special authority given to the chair should not be. The only thing the chair does is run your meeting. So when you go through the bylaws and you see that the chair can call a special meeting, this district, you are all equal. And like Jim pointed out, if two of you consulted with each other to set a meeting, special or otherwise, emergency or different meeting, and the scenario you played out, if you needed an emergency meeting, you would likely call it. You would get, all you need is concurrence from two board members that they can attend, that they're available, not whether or not to have it. And there's just no discussion when it's an emergency, a natural disaster or something. But a special meeting, again, you can't poll them. All you can do is find out if they're available because another board member has called for a special meeting or something has risen to the level that they need a special meeting. It's your job as administrator to talk them down and say, look, we can put that on next week's agenda. That's your job, and I think you can do that. I've seen you do it. But if there truly is something that you agree is special meeting worthy, any one of them can call it. So I just don't think emergency and special are different, and your scenario is sort of misplaced. Earlier, when we talked about the chairmanship, the committee assignments for the three agencies happen at different times, and if this had gone according to plan, according to the agenda, according to the bylaws, Ms. Nichols would not have been appointed at all. So I think you need to find the consistency in what the other agencies are doing when this election takes place, or rotation takes place. It's after the committee assignments are assigned and you know who is representing. Or, like she said, or I think it was Ron, said, by city, by community. And it's going to always be whoever's from Grover is going to run that meeting that day. So that's just on that. I saw 2.6, 1J, at the bottom of page 3. The chairperson has the discretion to strike a speaker's comments from the record for failure to lodge the reference documents. I think that is so far removed from it. No one should do that. When someone from the public comes to speak, whether or not they want to provide documents, they may have reference.
Thank you.
Can I do one more? I think this is important. It's the 4.1 on page 5. Any director can call the administrator and request an item be placed on the regular meeting agenda no later than 5 p.m., 11 days prior to the meeting date. He has to call. Then the request must also be submitted in writing, either at the time of communication with the district or administrator or delivered to the office the next working day. There's three steps to get something on this agenda. It's ridiculous. And I'd like you to amend that bylaw. Thank you.
Anyone else?
I'm Debbie Peterson. I live in Grover Beach, and I'm now going to make my comments on the bylaws. My comments previously were unfortunately interrupted, so I don't know if my point was made that I really would like for the directors to follow. So to the points I wanted to make about, specifically about this, 2.5A, the Board of Directors is not required to provide a public forum for remarks or comments in violation of the rules of decorum. And then when you go to 2.6H, you find the rules of decorum, each person addressing the Board of Directors shall do so in a civil manner. I think that you should probably take that out of the bylaws, because I don't see you always addressing the members of the public in a civil manner. But aside from that, I think that you're awfully close to violating the First Amendment, and I think you might want to look at that, because it is, we are not required to be civil by law. I prefer to be civil, and I will be civil, but the law does not require that we be civil. The First Amendment allows us to speak our minds. It doesn't say how we speak them. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Hearing none. Let's see. I think we about have it. Do we need to make a motion on this, or our direction?
I represented that I am going to take a stab at working on this with Amy tomorrow. We'll prepare the document, we'll prepare a resolution, and we'll put it on the agenda for the next regular meeting for adoption or revision.
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you. Our next item is the technical consultant and plant operators report.
Do you know if you wanted the 30-minute or the 20-minute in Barbara Nichols?
Why don't you and I work it out, and we'll pick it out, and then they'll say we got it right or we didn't. Okay. All right.
Okay. Here we go. Okay. So the operator report. Paul, do you have a?
I don't have anything to add to the report. I'd be happy to take questions.
Do you have any questions for Paul on the report?
It sounds like the headworks is still not resolved. What's the status on that?
The headworks has not met specs as far as the quality of the discharge from the headworks, and it has never met that, and the headworks has broken down a few times. We feel like we have cooperation on the part of both the manufacturer and the contractor to resolve it. It has required a design change, at least one design change already, which the manufacturer has agreed to do. The engineer who put the project together and bid the project and continues to manage the construction on it is still involved. And all I can say is we're frustrated with this going on like it is. It has caused us to shut down the grit removal project
from operation a couple of times already. But we feel optimistic that we're going to get there, and we're just not there yet, sir.
Thank you.
The reason for that meeting that I highlighted was because we were concerned. And after getting everyone together, it seemed like it's not ready, and they want to continue to work on it. And they're all getting along doing it, and it's costing them all money. It's costing us for our engineer, but other than that, all the other charges are being paid for by the manufacturer and other associates of the contractor. Does that answer your question? Or?
Yes, it does. Thank you for that. Raising manholes to grade, that's basically a standard process. I'm wondering why we have to do designs for that.
Well, it's a specification. It's probably going to run, we're guessing, around $24,000. And rather than just tell them, go out and do it, we'd like to have a spec for them so that they don't kind of run amok on traffic control. It is on Valley Road, which is a fairly busy thoroughfare that runs through Arroyo Grande. So,
and every time a street's repaved, do we not already have a spec for raising manholes?
I think if they were manholes owned by the city of Arroyo Grande, they would have been raised. They got paved, and they didn't get raised. Isn't that a county island in there?
There is.
I think the county may have done that paving and just didn't catch it.
I think this came up before that they paved over them.
Yeah, we need access. We need to get those out to where we can use them.
Clearly, I'm just wondering, I mean, in the 21st century, I'm surprised that we're trying to design this rather than having an off-the-shelf spec or...
It will be pretty much off-the-shelf. They'll give us a standard. We'll tell them how many to do. They're paved over, so they don't know where they are, Director. And so
that's
we want to...
we have things like magnets.
Okay.
Uncle!
Okay. All right, thank you. Barbara, did you have any...
Yeah, my question is, if the county has paved over it, why aren't they responsible for raising the...
Their response would be, it's not our job.
They don't have to get in the hole, so they don't care?
I can't say they don't care, but certainly it was an oversight. I think the normal course of action would be to notify us, let us mark up the plans.
Right.
For some reason, it didn't happen.
Okay.
And I don't fault the county, but we do have snafus.
Okay, thank you.
The financial audit. This sounds like a broken record. I'm not even going to ask for an update. It's just that I've already expressed my dissatisfaction with that.
Barbara, do you have anything you'd like to... I'm sorry, Jim, are you through?
Yeah, I'm awaiting the audit as well. I was very pleased with the information on the groundwater sustainability project. There is some movement going on, and I think that's very important to the whole region. Otherwise, I think that's the extent of my comments.
I think it shows there's a lot of things in the works. Been busy. Well, thank you for the report. Is there any public comment on this item?
Julie Tacker, and I will ask basically what I asked earlier. If it says here, and it has said for a while, that your audit would come in February, in an earlier item tonight, the staff report says that there won't be an administrator for the February 21st meeting. I didn't hear an answer of where they're going to be and if there's going to be a February 21st meeting. Same question for March 7th. With regard to the Regional Groundwater Sustainability Project, I went to PISMO yesterday and watched their presentation. It's coming out with a new name, and they implied that there would be perhaps a ribbon cutting for the project in 4 years. I'm thinking that's a little fast because they don't have a location, although your report says that they're considering putting it at your plant location, and that discussion has yet to come to your board. Maybe your stakeholders, your administrators are talking about it, but your board needs to talk about it. And how does that work, having their staff on your property when you have your own staff and your own operations, or is it something that your staff's going to run? Just curious, we haven't had that conversation. I'm thinking that the report could probably take off the things that have been accomplished, like the Cherry Avenue, that those things can all go away now, so the report gets smaller, and then the new things are easily identifiable. But earlier, Jim asked about the deferred maintenance or the maintenance budget, and there were some claims last year, last summer, that there had been a tremendous amount of deferred maintenance. And if, in fact, what Mr. Karp just said on the budget item was that there really isn't a whole lot of maintenance going on, then it seems to me that those statements were overstated by the administrator at the time and certainly by the representative from Oceano at that time. And I think maybe there's some apologies in order, because clearly the district is working and there's not a whole lot of money being spent on deferred maintenance. So those are my thoughts for tonight.
Anyone else?
Ron Arnoldson. My first introduction to this board was in 1992. I sat up there as a board member. And at that time, Chuck Ellison was our plant manager, and he used to put together a nice report, and that has been followed by two other managers in the past, the last one being John. It was very nice for the public to hear what was going on from those reports, because it gave you an insight into the physical plant and what was happening, and I would urge you to bring those back. The fact that you've cut your nose to spite your face and got rid of the most reliable plant manager you've ever had is kind of sorry, but maybe someone else can bring that report forward in the future to let us know what's happening, and that would solve some of the problems of what the deferred maintenance is or what the maintenance is and what's going on. Wouldn't have to ask those questions. Thank you.
Is there anyone else?
I have a question about the audit. I've heard Ferruccio's name come up numerous times, and I am assuming she's the one who's getting the audit together. Would it be possible for her to attend the next meeting, perhaps, and explain what's going on with the audit, why there's a problem? Just have her, so you can ask her questions. I know that a lot of the companies that we have contracts with, they will come in and explain their project. And I would just like to hear her explain why it's such a problem to get this audit done.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, seeing none. I guess that brings us to our...
I have one other question.
Okay.
This is on the... it's on page 3, the Northern Cities. Let's see. For the Regional Groundwater Sustainability Project under regional collaboration, it says, the statement near the bottom of the page says, the district is evaluating a request for additional sampling in support of development treatment parameters for a RGSP project. Can you explain what that is trying to tell us?
Yeah, Rick Sweet is handling that for us, and he has been requested to do some additional sampling by the group, and he is pursuing that with our lab person, who was telling him what those costs would be to accomplish getting the samples that they desire, and then that will be reported to them by Rick, and the means by which that those samples and resulting lab reports will be made will be assessed against the parties requesting the results of the...
So is this effluent sampling?
Frankly, I don't know if it's just effluent or whether there may be something in process that they're also looking for. I apologize, I don't have that specific answer.
Okay. Thank you, and I agree with the commenter that it would be useful to have our contracted accountant explain what's going on with the audit. I think that would be
She has nothing to do with the audit. The presentation on the audit will be done by our auditor, and Amy's working with her right now. I hesitate to promise it to you because I've promised you so many times and I've let you down, but I will tell you they're communicating, and that hasn't happened for months.
Okay. Anything else? Okay. Thank you very much. Also, do you think you can explain the March meeting
Sure.
and the February meeting so everybody understands
Sure.
what's going on?
Sure, Madam Chair. When the original contract with the consultants was entered into, both Rick and I had planned vacations at the end of this stint, and Rick has been on vacation for a little while already, and I'm planning a vacation which will begin about the day of the meeting. I plan to put together the agenda and have it there. Mr. Trujillo has agreed to fill both seats at those two meetings that I am not available, and then I will be back the first meeting after the two that I am not going to sit for. Like I say, I will be preparing items for Mr. Trujillo's presentation and your consideration at the next regular meeting. Amy and I will begin working on those materials tomorrow, and then there will be a group effort to get the items for the agenda that follow that meeting. Every effort will be made to try and keep it a little bit light, but the staff we have available is going to prepare those things. Rick Sweet is communicating with me on a daily basis from his vacation, and he's actually preparing items and submitting them also through email. So as far as the background materials, you may see a little bit difference, but you may find it's a lot better with just the attorney presenting it.
Thank you, Mr. Karp. Written communications?
An issue with the plant operations report. I'm sorry for focusing on the technical consultant's report previously to the...
Which page, sir?
This would be item 6F, page 5, with the chart. Our low chlorine use seems to be way low.
Which are we on the table?
This is on the table.
Okay.
Which obviously we're our average is double that, and so are we getting the disinfection that we need? And then the last page, staff contacted APCD to report the sulfides limit. Is there a violation there with the APCD?
There is a report on that, which we'll put on the next item. As far as whether it's a violation or not, I don't believe that's been determined. And it was a breakdown, and we can attach that report to the next item, next meeting. On the chlorine, I just want to share with the board that we are under the gun not to produce effluent with more than one part per million chlorine in it. That tends to be, I think the term is toxic to the wildlife. So you may recall we got a violation. I think one of those violations had to do with chlorine, if I'm not mistaken. We had like 1.1 or 1.3 or something like that. And I don't think underchlorine has been a problem, Director. We have been violated for overchlorine.
Thank you for your continued attention to that.
You all done?
That's it.
Okay. All right. Can we go on to our miscellaneous items, the written communications, Mr. Karp?
Yes, Madam Chair. I put before you my understandings of what went down at the meeting where we had asked for this matter to come back, I believe, in January. And I apologize for not bringing it back to you in January. I am bringing it back to you as a complete document rather than breaking it up. We have had we've had a HR professional put this together at some expense. These people do these documents for the various cities around here. And then after completion of that, we've had it reviewed by council. We've also had it presented to the union representatives who are also acquainted of these kinds of worded documents. And it has received an approval by our SEIU people. And I just would remind you of that it is a comprehensive document, and there's been a lot of work going into it. I know that there was a lot of criticism about it. There was also a lot of frustration over the length of the meeting and fatigue that was setting in. So rather than break the thing out into pieces, I've given you the whole document. I would propose that at the next meeting you take an hour and kick it around like you did the bylaws tonight. And your staff person will be Mr. Trujillo, so he'll try and keep that matter before you, and we'll see how long it takes us to get through it. But I'd like to review it as a complete document rather than breaking it apart. And that, I apologize that some of you didn't want it that way, but this is my best attempt to meet everybody's needs.
Okay, thank you. So that you say that's next
next meeting. I'm going to have it on the agenda.
Okay.
Little cover report for it, and I really don't think you should spend more than an hour on it.
Right.
And then kick it over to the next meeting if you need more time.
Okay. All right. Any board member communications?
None here.
Jim.
I don't really have any either.
I have none. And we have no closed session?
Not tonight.
Okay, so I guess we can adjourn. I have a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, we're adjourned. Thank you.